So what you got cooking this weekend, huh?
Put your head between your legs in the brace position and get ready for another week of bats hitting balls. Balls through nets and off rackets, with coaches blowing up and referees entering the witness protection program. Sit back, relax, and enjoy what Triple M modestly calls the Weekend Legends.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. My name is Chris Gale. Now, Andrew Rose, can you name this footy team?
Go.
Connor Tracy, Billy Britton, Dean Hawkins, Jacob Gagan, and Keon Kolomatangi.
Is that the Dapto Pelicans? What is that?
It is the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
What?
A week in South Sydney last night defeated at Bankwest Stadium 14 points to 26 against the Parramatta Eels in front of a healthy crowd of 21,645. What did you think of the Eels' performance last night, Rose?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, this is underdog round, right? Some of these teams are missing their key players for Origin, and I thought the Eels did what they had to do. I hope the Doggies do what they had to do against the Raiders today.
Slightly uncomfortable moment for Blake Ferguson, I believe.
Oh, yeah, he copped a hit to the Jats Crackers, and he was down for a good couple minutes there. If you want to hear the interview, the hilarious interview he did after the game, jump on the Triple M Instagram because it's really funny. It's the best laugh ever.
And it pains me to say this, but I thought Souths were pretty resolute in the face of adversity last night.
Enough of that.
Now, coming up this hour, it is Origin, and we're going to look at the whole issue of how one gets an edge at Origin. We're going to go back down the memory lane like everyone does, Cattle Dog and Queenslander.
Sure.
And some of the modern things, there's all sorts of whispering going on. Coach whispering, breath whispering, Damien Cook in float tanks. It's unbelievable. The Cricket World Cup is underway. Did you know that?
Oh, well, I do now.
Australia takes on Afghanistan in game one for the Australians, 10:30 p.m. tonight. But next, coming off the back of two wins in a row, they're back, deeper issues and all. The Penrith Panthers, we're speaking to Josh Mansour. Weekend Legends, Triple M.
It's the radio equivalent of chowing down on a bacon and egg roll at your kid's under six soccer. Triple M's Weekend Legends.
You're on the Weekend Legends, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M with Chris and Rose. Rose, if I can take you back to last Thursday night.
Yes, let's do it.
The Penrith Panthers 15 defeated Manly 12 at Panthers Stadium in front of 7,981 punters. To take us through their win, we have Josh Mansour from the Penrith Panthers. Josh, rugby league is a game about opportunity. Now, Manly were without DCE and the Turbo Brothers, but you guys were missing Nathan Cleary and Viliami Kikau pulled out before kickoff. It provided an opportunity for a number of juniors to debut, including Liam Martin. How good is this kid?
Yeah, he's a really tough kid who grew up down in the country. So, they're all tough out there. And, yeah, he made the most of his opportunity. He only had, like, 4 days to prepare for the game, and yeah, he took it with both hands. Yeah, he had an outstanding game, and he was one of our best on the park.
Corey Waddell from Manly up for two matches for striking on Liam. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, funny enough, they're good mates too, so I hope he doesn't get too much time.
Yeah, I've given my good mates a headbutt. That's how I greet Chris before every show. Josh Mansour, it's the Panthers' second win on the trot. This is looking good for you guys. How do you guys make a run for the finals off this good run?
Well, obviously, we've got to keep winning games and keep this momentum rolling. You know, we've still got a big test coming up. We've got the Roosters next week and then South following that. So we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. It's definitely not going to be an easy challenge for us, but I think early in the season we've been lacking in 10 and I guess teamwork. We haven't been playing as a team, so that was the biggest thing we wanted to take out of the last few games, and we've done that, and we've got the two wins. So it's not going to be an easy task next week, you know. We're all going to really train hard for that 10-day turnaround, and we really want to try and knock these guys to the top.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a bit of a tough run for the Panthers so far this year. Do you feel like those back-to-back wins adds a lot of positivity to you guys and the way you work inside the team?
Yeah, of course. You know, like, obviously, losing games, you know, your confidence drops, form drops, and there's a lot of questions going around training, and there's a lot of pressure, obviously, but saying that, having back-to-back wins definitely boosts your mood, and everyone's, you know, chirpy and bubbly around training, which is awesome, but also, you know, you want to keep winning. That's the thing. You don't want to just be happy and get comfortable with those two wins. We just want to keep getting better and keep growing as a team. No doubt, we've obviously got a lot of guys out, and we're going through a lot of adversity at the moment, but we're all sticking together and want to really obviously play finals at the end of the year.
We're talking to Josh Mansour from the Penrith Panthers. Now, Josh, in the lead up to the game, a lot was made of your matchup against Abbas Miski from Manly. There's some talk that you look alike. I can't really see it, can you?
Oh, really? I think it's just the Bins, to be honest. And that he's got a great rig, but... saying that, he's a great kid. He's making the most of his opportunities in the NRL. I'm really happy that he's playing, because he's really had to work hard to get to this position, and yeah, I'm really stoked for the guy.
I think you gave an interview. The last time you matched up was Australia versus Lebanon in the 2017 World Cup, yeah. And you were getting booed. By the way...
I thought I was going to get shot that game.
By the way, I am on record as saying I can't really even see similarity between Ivan and Nathan Cleary.
It doesn't make sense. Josh, you know, your background's quite interesting to us. Lebanese, Portuguese and Cuban. I've got to ask, how good is dinner at the Mansour family gathering?
Oh, mate, outstanding. Outstanding. I pride myself in hospitality, so I'll get you guys around and let you check it out yourself.
Look, our producer Lachlan just jumped up. We'll all go to dinner at Mansour's house. That'd be amazing.
I'm just booking an Uber right now.
It's awesome. You know, very lucky to have my mum and my dad, obviously having those cultural backgrounds. And, dinner's always great at my house, no doubt.
So, Josh, it doesn't get any easier for you guys. You're coming up next weekend on the Sunday up against the Sydney Roosters at 4:05 p.m., which will be on Triple M. So we wish you all the very best against the Chooks and all the very best for the rest of the season.
Appreciate that. Thanks, lad. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Josh. Chris, I tell you, I know he was only joking, but we've really got to book in that dinner at Mansour's house.
Is he joking? I'm hungry. I'm ready to go. Last night, Jerome Luai and Jack Krzyzewski got sent to the Simbin Rose, and Coach Cleary afterwards said it was just nothing but handbags. Have you ever been hit by a handbag? It's pretty uncomfortable. So great to talk to Josh. Go the Panthers.
Yeah.
Coming up next, the World Cricket Cup has begun, and we're going to take you through it. You're on the Weekend Legends, Triple M.
It's a show on the weekend, and these guys are legends. So naming the show was a no-brainer. Triple M's Ghost Mutt. What is it? Weekend Legends.
If you're sports fans like we are, you're continuously sleep-deprived. Our latest problem is the ICC Cricket World Cup. You're on the Weekend Legends, 104.9. Triple M with Chris and Rose. The cup is underway, Rose.
Oh, it's a World Cup. I always love a good World Cup.
Overnight, West Indies beat Pakistan by 7 wickets. Mm-hmm. Thursday night, England beat South Africa by 104 runs.
Did you catch the Ben Stokes catch, excuse the pun, that happened during that game?
You mean the catch of the millennium?
It is one of the greatest cricket catches I've ever seen. Unbelievable. Check it out if you can. Ben Stokes catch for England.
Nice to see Stokes doing something with his hands that doesn't get him in court. Okay, this is the 12th World Cup. Australia, of course, has won 5. We lead the field. West Indies and India 2 each. Sri Lanka 1. Pakistan 1. That's why the England-South Africa clash is so nice, because they've never won it.
Oh, yeah. Take that.
There are 10 teams in this competition. Goes to the 14th of July, so we've got plenty of time.
Nice.
Fifth time it's been in England and Wales. The format, everyone plays each other once.
Right.
Top 4 teams into 2 semifinals, knockout into the final.
And are we saying that majority of the games are overnight for us here in Sydney?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
The early games start at 7:30, very viewer-friendly here, and the later games tend to get going at 10:30 p.m. at night.
Well, that's fine for tonight, right? We're playing Afghanistan at 10:30. That's a Saturday night. That's my night planned.
That's right, and it's the first game for the Australians, and the boys are back in town, Rose.
Oh, Warner and Smith are back in town. Are you cool with this? I mean, you're the big cricket guy. You're happy about this?
I'm 100% cool with this. I always felt that the penalties were an overreaction to the incident.
100%.
And you've served your penalty. You've demonstrated the contrition. You've, you know, had to play in all sorts of places to get your form.
Yeah.
And both boys seem to be in form. You take the best. We want to be there.
And let's send the message out. Give them a break. Let them play cricket now. We spent so much time piling on these guys for their mistakes. They've, like Chris said, they've paid their dues. Let them play cricket now.
I know you've written to the Barmy Army and they said they'll go easy on the boys.
Oh, yeah, right. They're going to double down now.
Here's a bit of trivia. This is the first World Cup where all the test-playing nations are not playing, because we now have 12 test-accredited nations.
Interesting. So what? Who aren't? Do you know who's not?
Ireland.
Okay.
And Zimbabwe.
Really? Zimbabwe? That's funny you say that. Speaking of Zimbabwe, I had something about cricket this week that I wanted you to see. Former Zimbabwean cricketer Henry Alonga was on The Voice. You know that TV show?
I am aware of The Voice.
He sang on The Voice, and he's not too bad. Producer Lachlan? How good? I mean, he should be singing the anthem at the World Cup, right? Henry Alonga.
The sad thing about all this, tremendous set of pipes. He's already released an album. Yeah. The sad thing was that that was going to be the theme song for the Zimbabwe team in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they're not playing.
Oh, no.
I got a bit of background on Henry. He was the first black cricketer to play for Zimbabwe, to debut in Test in 1995.
Wow.
And he was the youngest player for Zimbabwe at that time.
And he's got a hell of a set of pipes.
Yeah. Very quick bowler, very erratic.
Right.
Lots of no balls and wides.
Okay.
And he retired after the 2003 World Cup, where he and Andy Flower, one of the great wicketkeeper batsmen of all time, protested about the Mugabe government with armbands, about the death of democracy.
Yeah, right.
Tough time for him. Like, death threats, the whole thing, and he decided to step away from the game. I don't know. What do you think is going to be tougher, the circumstances in which Henry retired, or having to go up against Delta if she's coaching against him in The Voice? What do you think?
Delta's a formidable threat that I don't think he's ever faced before.
This is the moment. Now, coming up next, we are all about Sydney Rugby League, and we're going to speak to Dave Ray, director of the Newtown Jets, about what football is like in the Canterbury Cup. Oh. The Jets at Henson Park, they've got a huge game coming up next week. You're on the Weekend Legends, Triple M. This is the moment.
Time all like cupping a weekend to the plums. Triple M's Weekend Legends.
I've always said, Rose, love in an elevator, Aerosmith, the OH&S implications are out of control.
Oh, the paperwork would be crazy.
We are the Weekend Legends on 104.9 Triple M with Chris and Rose. We are all about rugby league on this show, especially when it's rugby league in Sydney and it's local.
Mm.
There is only one Sydney NRL game that you can catch in this Origin-affected round this weekend, Rose.
Outrageous.
But you can go to six games in Sydney this weekend and you can see these teams play. St George Illawarra, Canterbury, Newcastle, Penrith, Wests, the North Sydney Bears and the Newtown Jets.
Yes.
Newtown Jets are playing at 1 p.m. at Henson Park this afternoon against the New Zealand Warriors. And to take us through the Jets experience, we have Newtown Jets director, Dave Ray.
Dave, it's Rose here. It's so good to talk to you. Thank you for coming on the show. Mate, I've got to start by saying Henson Park has to be a time warp of rugby league. It is one of the greatest places to watch footy. How do you describe the atmosphere that's built up at a Jets game at Henson Park?
G'day, Rose. G'day, Chris. Thanks for having me on. Look, Henson Park's like something nowhere else on earth. The ability to walk straight in and go, there's an entire stadium where I can choose where I want to sit.
Mm.
So, you know, the huge amphitheatre we've got, the hill, it's quite an oasis in the middle of the city that you, if you don't know anything about it, you walk to the end of Suburban Street and then all of a sudden there's this enormous ground in front of you. And it's, I think the big thing is you walk in, you find where you want to sit, you grab a beer, you grab a, you know, a sausage on a roll,
yeah.
You bring your dog, you bring the family, it's all great.
It is amazing. There is this, like you said, this really welcoming vibe. I've stood on many hills and many games, but there's something about Henson Park Hill that makes you feel a little bit more authentic, you know, the velodrome vibe and everything like that. The other question I had for you, Dave, was, you know, Sharks are the feeder club for Newtown. Can you explain a little bit how that works?
Yeah, sure. So we are effectively the reserve grade team, if you will, for the Cronulla Sharks. So whenever, given the full-time 30 squad that the Sharks have running in the NRL, that if players aren't making the starting 17, that they'll often and generally be coming to play for us. So in any given week, you'll have a bunch of fantastic stars like Sione Katoa running around for us today on the wing. Will Kennedy, who's spent his time playing his trade with us, but also has played a couple of first grade games this year. So it's a great testing ground, and it's a great way for sort of younger players to develop their skills and hone and then go up to first grade. And there are several Jets players from last year playing for the Sharks, like Britton Nakora, who's setting the game on fire this year.
Dave, I often head out to Henson Park. The first thing I'd like to say is the steak sandwiches are to die for.
Amazing.
You're taking on the New Zealand Warriors at 1 p.m. this afternoon at Henson Park, but you've got a special event coming up next weekend.
Yeah, so look, we're very proud to announce yesterday that we'll be having Australian Rugby League's first ever Pride and Diversity Day in support of the LGBTIQ community. And I want to call out my fellow directors on the club, but also the NRL, the New South Wales Rugby League and the Sharks, that when we brought up the premise of doing this game with them, there was just the immediate response of, yep, we're on board, what can we do to help? And that's from Todd Greenberg, Dave Trodden and first grade coach John Morris. They immediately got on board. And so, yeah, next week in Henson Park, the players will be running out wearing rainbow socks. We'll have the rainbow flag painted on the field. And it's a demonstration of, you know, us as a club and marking the fact that Newtown is a place where everyone is welcome. No matter who you are and where you come from, you will always be welcome at Henson Park.
Dave, that is so good to hear. I love that, Chris. That is a great incentive.
The match is at 3 p.m. on the Saturday against the Wentworthville Magpies, not to be confused with the Western Suburbs Magpies, I hasten to add. That tagline, Dave, everyone is welcome. Does that extend to Bulldogs fans?
Oh, come on now.
Well, it does. And I mean, I have to mention as well, Rose, that I don't echo your sentiments earlier, but as a Canberra Raiders fan myself, I'm steadfastly looking forward to John Bateman coming back tonight and, you know, controlling the match.
Dave, we were getting along so well. Now you're calling me out as a Bulldogs fan. I'll see you this afternoon. I'll be thinking of you when we win by 3 tries.
Dave, thanks very much for joining us. Every interview about the Jets mentions the fact that they have the crowd 8,972, and I've just mentioned that. So be part of all the action today and next Saturday out at Henson Park with the Newtown Jets. Dave Ray, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Good on you, Dave. He's done me dirty, Chris.
Don't you love an old-timey football song, Rose?
I love it. Footy, mate.
Coming up on the next break, we're going to talk about celebrities and getting all in the way at sporting fixtures. Hello, Drake. Weekend Legends, Triple M.
This show is definitely on the weekend. Whether these guys are legends may be debatable. Triple M's Weekend Legends.
I think we've lost that debate. I'm not sure we are weekend legends, but we are on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M with Chris and Rose.
Yeah. Now, Chris, this week is the NBA Finals, right?
Correct. It's the peak time in basketball. Toronto Raptors, Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, the Toronto Raptors against the Golden State Warriors. We've already had a game one. And something interesting that took my eye in game one is there's a rapper in America named Drake. For those of you that don't know Drake, he's like a huge rapper in the community, and he loves the Toronto Raptors. Well, this month he loves the Toronto Raptors.
No, he's Canadian. Yeah, I'll sure. credit him that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, he was in Degrassi, right? The original Degrassi show. He seems to want to make the game more about himself than the game, right? So he's standing courtside. He's jaw-jacking with players. He's grabbing the coach on the shoulders when something good happens. He's getting involved in the game, to the point that in the coverage, the question before the game was not about the game. It was, will Drake behave himself tonight? Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I went to search the result. I couldn't find anything. I'm not sure who won the game.
No, but Drake was there.
Yeah, and there was a Drake watch. And here's some of the statistics that emerged. He stood up 65 times during the game.
Unbelievable.
For an average of 38 seconds per stand. He was missing until the 8-minute 45-second mark of the third quarter, which is actually a gripe I have about all NBA fans. I mean, Toronto, it's the first time you're in the NBA Finals, and everyone's out going, you know what, I'll stay and I'll have a second cup.
Yeah, they're all out getting poutine or whatever that food is they love up there.
He wore a Del Curry jersey. Yeah. Because Del Curry played for the Raptors and his son Steph Curry is playing for the Warriors in the finals.
It's to annoy the Warriors.
Just to get into his grill.
But it makes me think about the times where celebrities have gotten in the way of sport, right? The most recent one I can think of that I always jump to was at the NFL Super Bowl when the Philadelphia Eagles won the title. Kevin Hart tried to get up on stage and grab the trophy, and he was well drunk. I'll give you an example. Here's an interview they did with him on the field.
This is an example of what we can do. We gave... Oh,
yeah, Lee. I love you. All right, he got to go.
I love that. You accidentally swear on national television. You just go, oop.
He's got to go. I think he's gone.
He tried to get up on stage and hold the trophy up. They wouldn't let him. He was so confused. It was hilarious. Sometimes you don't even need to get on the field to be the center of attention. Do you remember in the World Cup when Maradona was just gacked out of his brain
so
in the crowd, just going to everything that happened, and you couldn't even watch the game because all the cameras were on Maradona in the crowd.
And he just kept pointing at his hand and going, this is the hand of God.
What about you? Have you ever had moments where celebrities have gotten in the way of your sport, Chris?
No, I wouldn't put myself into that category. I thought one thing that was funny about the Drake thing was Draymond Green from the Golden State Warriors gave an interview and said, Drake, he can't shoot and he can't pass. Mm. And it occurred to me that Drake is the new Joe the cameraman.
He also can't rap, but that's just my opinion.
Of course, we have Australian celebrity interface with sport as well. Russell Crowe, of course, South Sydney Rabbitohs Supremo.
Sure.
Seems to do it with a lot of class generally, except the one time they were pumping the opposition and he kind of yelled in his kid's ear and the kid turned around and goes, Dad, get out of my face.
I will never get sick of watching Russell Crowe's kids be disappointed in him. It's just brilliant.
Politicians always see some edge in being associated with teams.
Hi, ScoMo.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, our next election will be a rugby league election. It will be South versus Sharks, Albo versus ScoMo.
I mean, I'm already pretty disinterested in politics, but that annoys me. Keep footy out of politics, please.
When the West Coast Eagles had that magnificent recovery to beat Collingwood last year in the AFL Grand Final, we saw a lot of coverage of the game and we saw more coverage of Julie Bishop's shoes, I think. But I like celebrities from Australia that love their sport.
Sure.
When my Tigers won the 2005 Grand Final against the North Queensland Cowboys, Anthony Field, the Blue Wiggle, card-carrying Tigers fan, gave an interview. He had a kid born that night, yeah. And they said, Anthony, you must be over the moon. He goes, I am, and it's nice to have another kid as well.
Wow, that statement's a real hot potato.
You're on the Weekend Legends, Triple M.
Sit back, relax, and let these guys do the thinking. Well, at least talking. Triple M's Weekend Legends.
Welcome back to the Weekend Legends. Sydney's 104.9 Triple M with Chris and Rose. Rose, State of Origin.
Oh, well, don't act so sad about it. It's State of Origin, babe. It's game one. I'm excited.
It's just awesome, isn't it? The build-up, all the drama. And there's been a little bit of a change this year, and we've got to thank Kevin Walters, the Maroons coach, for this.
But before you get into that, change, what happened to Bluey the robot?
Change is good. I don't think there is any Bluey the robot. I think Freddie's retired it.
No, that's a shame.
Cannibalised the circuits for the mobile phones he's confiscated off the Blues.
He's been using the new 5G rollout, has he?
According to Kevy Walters, this is war. Yeah. So it's not just a battle of bodies. This is an arms race. And it's always interesting as how both teams try to get a particular edge.
Yeah.
Physically, New South Wales has the edge in the pack this year, 631 kilograms to 614. But physical dominance is not enough anymore in Origin, is it?
Okay, so you're saying more mental stuff?
So it's been widely reported that Kevy Walters has consulted at the very cheap rate of $5,000 an hour plus GST.
What?
With Bradley Charles Stubb, the coach whisperer. Okay. So Bradley's mantra is expect to win, done, done, done.
Okay.
Don't ever mention the opposition. Always say we will win, not we hopefully we will win if we play well.
$5,000 an hour for this.
And Kevy seems to have embraced it with great vigour, and sort of the players as well can't mention New South Wales, so they're falling them over themselves not to say Blue and
Those
sorts of things.
Well.
Freddie is up to some of his old tricks, if Blue the robot's not part of it.
Yeah.
We're looking at the earthing, where the minerals soak up through the bare feet of the players walking on Coogee Oval, or indeed on the beach. I don't know if you saw footage of them this week, hand in hand walking across Bondi.
Yeah, they were holding hands. It was beautiful. Earthing, is that what they call that?
Yeah. Yoga, something you'd have no idea what that is.
It sounds, the word hurts me to say.
But New South Wales have countered the coach whisperer with the breath whisperer, a gentleman called Nam Baldwin.
Okay. Who's the breath whisperer now, and why does he cost so much?
Okay, so he took the boys into a preseason camp up at Armidale.
Okay, yeah.
Where you learn to control your breath. So when you're in stressful situations, normally you want to fight, flight, or freeze.
Is this like the Warriors deal? Like breathing techniques help you focus?
Exactly the same.
Okay, yeah. Right.
So if you can control in the chaos your breathing, you'll execute at a high level.
Right.
So it turns out Freddie was the best at keeping his breath under the water.
Really? Yeah. That's a surprise.
So as the Blues approach Suncorp Stadium on Wednesday night, they'll be on the bus.
Yep.
And Nam Baldwin will be up the front on the mic, taking them through a 5-minute control your breath relaxation routine.
On the bus. While like they're rolling into the ground.
Yeah, he says he'll only be on tape if they can't meet his fee, which I think will be $5,000 plus GST.
That's ridiculous.
Damien Cook has revealed that he now floats in a magnesium salt bath. It's all sorts of new stuff, but we like the old school stuff, and yet everyone loves to walk down memory lane, so we'll do it too.
Okay.
What about the Queenslander call back in 95, Origin 2 in Melbourne, when Billy Moore walked down the race?
...is to go to their back line. That's why we see quite a few hit-ups for the likes of McGregor and Hill and Wishart, etc. I think that they've got a...
Is he just reminding himself what team he plays on? Or
no, it was actually Gary Larson who was like the player whisperer. Yeah. And he said, let's do the Queenslander chant. And everyone did it in the rooms. And only Billy was doing it in the race and secured a career for the rest of his life.
It's not as fun yelling, New South Wales.
And if it's an arms race, the call to arms for the Blues, according to the great coach Tommy Raudonikis, who's going through health issues at the moment. We hope he's going pretty well for Tommy.
Yep.
When he wanted the Blues to put on a blue, the call in 1997 was cattle dog.
Now they come up out of the scrum and Mark Carroll is throwing them. Andrew Johns is looking for Goddard. He's into Goddard. Carroll is into his opposition prop forward. And the Origin at the Sydney Football Stadium has really blown up.
There's Andrew Johns trying to get around the touchdown.
Oh, he's landed a right on the pecker.
Right on the pecker?
Sounds painful, doesn't it?
It sounds like it really hurts.
Is that what happened to Blake Ferguson last night out at Parramatta?
Yeah. Pretty much similar thing. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk to you guys in the fan view about what you think of Origin. So stick around for that.
Weekend Legends, Triple M.
Kicking you right in the weekend. Oh. Triple M's Weekend Legends.
Welcome back to the Weekend Legends, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M with Chris and Rose, and it's a podcast extra, Rose.
Hello, people of the digital world. This is our podcast exclusive. I like these. We get to talk a little bit of music in this one, Chris.
And the music world is agog in Sydney with the announcement that U2, supported by Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, hit Sydney later this year.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Tell them, Bono. U2 are coming back. One of the biggest bands in the world. And what's interesting about this tour, Chris, is the concert is taking place in Sydney at the SCG, the Sydney Cricket Ground.
Maybe they know something. Maybe ANZ is about to come tumbling down.
Maybe they do know something. But as we know, there's a, you know, there's a limit of stadiums right now in Sydney of what we can use. So they're using the SCG. And I tell you what, I was at a Swans game last week and I was sitting there and looking over that ground gave me a flashback to Wave Aid. Remember Wave Aid?
I do.
With Midnight Oil, Silverchair, Powderfinger. It was an incredible day of awesome music. But I loved the SCG for music. And I was thinking we need more stuff there. And less than a week later, U2 get announced. It's pretty amazing, right?
Are you saying you're responsible for this?
Yeah, I think this is all to do with me.
What else have you seen there?
Well, I mean, that was the big one for me. I know producer Lachlan talks about he saw Green Day.
Yeah, I went to the Green Day gig. That was really good. Yeah.
I mean, the stands aren't huge, say, like an ANZ, but the history there and the wideness of the ground gives a really different feel.
If memory serves me correctly, they were supported by Jimmy Eat World.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that band.
The first concert that I saw at the SCG was Madonna.
Really?
The girly tour, sort of back in the early 90s. And she came out and did Holiday in a Socceroos jersey.
I don't...
You don't like Madonna, do you?
No. I'm fine with Madonna in some cases. But the sports, the teams putting on sports jerseys for the city they're in, it's very much like writing, "Hello, Springfield," on the back of your guitar. You know, like, we get it. You've never watched a Socceroos game in your life, Madonna.
Prince did his Diamonds and Pearls tour at the SCG. They originally announced the Entertainment Centre, which I went to, and then they added the SCG.
Did he wear a Rabbits jersey in his encore or something stupid like that?
Very, very famously, next door at the showground in the Alice Cooper Welcome to My Nightmare tour, he came out in the encore in a Manly rugby league jersey. The ultimate villain.
What a heel turn. But
and the boss.
Wow, Springsteen at the SCG would be amazing.
Yeah, he played back 2003 from memory, but there were power outages continuously. So he did a lot of a cappella stuff, which the crowd probably thought was unique and fantastic.
Yeah.
But to me, it was just those Lang Park residents. They don't like the noise. They were, you know, pulling the plug out.
I say more music at the old guy. I think this Queen tour coming up should have been at the SCG. I mean, can you imagine Queen at the SCG? It would be amazing. I say more concerts there, Chris.
And look, just in conclusion, have you ever seen that archival footage of Pink Floyd playing in the ruins of Pompeii?
Yeah.
Really, really iconic footage. Why don't they put Queen in Allianz Stadium?
On the ruins of Allianz.
The ruins of Allianz Stadium. That's a concert that I'd like to see.
The backdrop is the Nibbler with lights all over it. Oh, that'd be amazing. Lock it in.
Hammer to fall, it'll be the Nibbler to fall. You're on the Weekend Legends, Triple M.
The Weekend Legends on Triple M.